How many of you have chosen either to fast or to give something up for Lent? I see some hands, I see some wobbles. Lent has long been a season linked with fasting, as Jesus did in the wilderness. I remember in my childhood many Lents giving up candy and soda. As I grew older, I've known others who have given up meat, becoming vegetarian or even vegan for Lent. And once in high school, the father of one of my friends declared it was his intent to give up this whole being blind thing for Lent. But as my friend's mother, his wife, said, I don't think it works that way. This practice of giving something up, it's rooted again in Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, a time in which Jesus himself fasted and also prayed and resisted temptation. Our gospel text today speaks briefly on the fasting itself, noting only that Jesus was led in the wilderness by the Spirit, and after 40 days, the devil appeared and tempted Jesus with three things. The three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each describe the same three temptations, though not in the same order. In Luke's account, the devil first says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you, I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Often we cast temptation, we hear these temptations as some sort of a bargain, of an exchange, as in the story of Faustus, an obscure academic who exchanges his soul for earthly power and other things. On reading the text again this week, I noticed something that undercuts that idea, that really, the devil does not offer Jesus anything. All of these temptations are already things that are within Jesus' power. There's no Faustian bargain. In more Appalachian terms, there is no fiddle made of gold. Jesus has turned the water into wine. He has multiplied bread and fish, was present at the very moment of creation. We think turning stones to bread would be a challenge? I think we need to hear the devil's very first words. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Yes, this temptation to turn the stone to bread comes after 40 days of fasting. Yes, Jesus is hungry, but that is not the core of the temptation. When the devil begins with that phrase, "If you are the Son of God," the devil is saying to Jesus, "Prove it. Prove you are who you say you are." The second temptation is power, and here the devil does phrase it as an offer. But again, this is already within Jesus' ability. This is even the expectation that many held for the Messiah, that the Messiah would come and seize political power over all the world and would bring about a godly realm by force. The temptation to Jesus then is not to accept the devil's exchange, but for Jesus to declare, I can do that and I will. The challenge is to enter into a game of topper, of political one-upsmanship between Jesus and the devil until there is nothing left. And so again, the real challenge is to prove it. Having resisted this, the devil drops the pretense in the third test and again returns to the form of the first. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their heads they will bear you up so you will not dash your foot against a stone. And again, we have those words, if you are the Son of God, but now the challenge itself invokes God the Father as if the devil is saying to Jesus, you are nothing on your own. You just have a powerful daddy. In the hope of provoking Jesus again to prove that he does not need God, in the hope that Jesus will again prove something. Often the temptations we ourselves face are like these, more deeply layered than they seem. We often are most comfortable speaking of temptation to food or to vices, or perhaps to food as a vice. We are comfortable blaming others for temptation. We are comfortable saying, it's not my fault, it was theirs, they tempted me. We are comfortable framing temptation as an exchange. And with Lent, I have seen many people use the season in an effort to break a bad habit, to beat an addiction, or in some other way seek to improve their physical and mental health. And if you are doing that, go ahead. I don't want to stop you. Whatever works. But as we are moving through these 40 days of Lent, I want to urge everyone to center their Lenten practice, whatever it might be, on building a closer relationship with God. Because in all of today's gospel lesson, the one word that stood out to me the most was in that first sentence. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. In, as in it was a continuous leadership, that as long as Jesus was in the wilderness, the Spirit was with him. The Spirit did not lead Jesus to the wilderness, only to then go away as soon as Jesus had arrived. The Spirit's work was not complete. The Spirit was with Jesus the whole time. The text never says that Jesus was alone. The text never says the Spirit departed. And so looking again at them temptations, this push was to get Jesus to turn away from God's presence there with the Spirit. I hope this story will remind us now that whatever temptations we each face, it is within our power to resist them because God is with us. God is with us in the wilderness. We may not see it, we may not feel it, but God's presence is there. And so while the devil offers nothing to Jesus that he did not already have or could not have obtained on his own, the Spirit of God offered real and true comfort. So I urge you all, whether you are fasting or not, whether you have chosen to give up a vice or are trying to break a habit, whether you have resolved nothing at all for these 40 days, use this time to seek God's grace and to grow in your relationship with Christ. Spend these next 6 weeks in prayer for those around you, for those you love, and for those who have harmed you. Pray for those you have harmed through action or inaction. We are tempted not only with the activity of doing wrong, we are also always tempted with the choice to not do the right thing. Last year, I read these temptations by Christ as three ways of skipping ahead. It's been meaningful to me this year that Lent comes at the change of the season. Look out the windows right now. Look at the trees that still have no leaves. As we go through these next 6 weeks, as we go through Lent, watch the trees. Watch God's creation around you as new life grows and returns. Note each day these signs of new life as we move toward Easter and give thanks for the glory of God's creation. Every day, thanks be to God.